in many cases, you or others that listen to this might actually quit listening if I gave it up, because you are used to hearing me pour into you. You're used to that type of content. You're used to the way I give you content.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
One of the things that I get asked frequently when I'm invited on somebody else's podcast is specifically, how in the frick did you sell your podcast? It gets a lot of attention. I never really have talked about it. That, I guess I should say, I don't talk about it a lot on this podcast because it's a very unique strategy to monetize a podcast. Not everybody wants to do it. Not everybody thinks about doing it. It's come up just a couple times on this show. But ultimately, I think because almost every time I'm ever interviewed on anyone else's podcast, they ask me just question after question. Well, how did you do this? What happened here? So I am sure that it is not just the hosts of these other podcasts that care about the possibility of making one of your exit strategies selling the show. So I'm just going to share with you some pros and cons and some how-tos and some considerations. Short story, a couple of years back, I started a podcast like 5 or 6 years ago. And as I started the podcast, it was not always easy. I'm just going to be honest. Like, it was a freaking struggle. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't really know very many people that had had a podcast. It was after I started the podcast that I started making those connections. And after having the podcast that I started wondering why it was so hard, because actually launching a podcast, starting a podcast is harder than you think it is. Maybe you as a listener have already launched your podcast and you're already saying, man, this is harder than I thought it was. It's simple to have a podcast. It's simple, easy to record. It's easy to publish. But man, the success of a podcast is a challenge, especially if you don't know what you're doing. I didn't know what I was doing. I learned along the way and I learned the hard way. So then I started like helping different friends start their podcasts. And then their podcast got more famous than mine. And I saw what was happening, what we were doing right, what we were doing wrong with all of my friends that launched podcasts after me. And we started learning how to get people on New and Noteworthy. And we started learning like how to do the best launch and pre-launch. And this is some of the stuff now what I teach my clients, people that work with my company. These are the things that they automatically learn is because of all of this time and effort. So I started this podcast several years ago, 5, 6 years ago. And then about 3 or 4 years after, I ended up selling the podcast to a different owner. It was ranking now, finally. It didn't rank forever. We had like 50 downloads per episode. And then I sold it and it had, right when I was putting it up for sale, it had like 3,500 downloads per episode. Still not a lot, but it is a lot. I mean, how do I say it? It's not Joe Rogan style, okay? Because he has like hundreds of thousands, if not millions of downloads per episode. So 3,500 is way lower, way less than Joe Rogan. But when you look at it compared to other podcasts, it's easily in the top 1% based on the downloads. And so in many ways, it was a very successful podcast. In other ways, there was definitely more podcasts that were more successful. And so I didn't know that I could sell it. So how did I learn that I could sell a podcast? Well, I was just at a mastermind and it was my turn. And I got up and I told everybody that, hey, I'm trying to figure out how to let this podcast go because it has a big listener base, 3,500 downloads every single episode. And it's hard for me to host a conference and even get 3,500 people to one conference. And one conference with 3,500 people would cost me, I don't know, $350,000 or something. I would have to pay $350,000 just to before we would even have the seats ready, right? This is just, I've hosted enough conferences. I know that it costs a lot of time, money, effort, a team and stress to get 3,500 people into one room. But on my podcast, I was like so excited. And I told all these people in my mastermind, I was like, this is really cool because I can speak to more people than I could ever speak to on a conference. And instead of them seeing me just for 3 days, they're able to download my content repeatedly over and over and over. So I can really stay in front of my listener and add all this value. So I was saying, have you ever heard anybody say they have golden handcuffs? Basically saying, I don't want my effing job is what they're saying. I don't want this freaking job. Like, I hate my job. It's stressful. I'm working 60 hours a week, but I make so much money and I'm used to a certain lifestyle. How would I afford my BMW? How would I afford my house and my second house if I left my job? I don't want my job, but I've got the golden handcuffs. I'm used to making this certain living, so I can't really quit my job. And so there's a lot of people in this dilemma and looking at their lives where they want to spend more time with their kids, but they can't because they've got this job and they need the job because it pays for things and they want their kids to go to private school or they want their kids to go to college or they want their kids to have a car or whatever it is, right? They want to go on vacations and they just don't see how they could do it by leaving their job. And that was me. I was like happy about this cult following that I built up in the real estate space. I was happy about having 3,500 people every single episode. At one point, I published a podcast episode 30 days in a row. It was usually 4 days a week. But for a short period of time, I said, well, I'm just going to go every day because I've got so many episodes. I'm going to publish every single day. And actually, I think it might have been for 2 months in a row. Point being that having a podcast where you know you've got 3,500 people downloading and thinking that you want to start a new podcast, but it's the unknown. You're like, man, I might have zero people downloading. So it's scary. It's hard. It's my golden handcuffs. It's like, I'm not sure if the podcast is exactly what I want to do, but I do get really good traction. I am making money with my podcast. So how do I leave it? It's like also if you've got your kids, right? You've got your kids and you love your kids and they're part of your DNA in many cases. They're part of your DNA. Unless you've adopted, they are your DNA. And even if they're not your biological DNA, like they're your effing kid. Like you adopted them, you raised them, you poured into them, you spent money and time and effort on them, and you grew to love them. Probably more than you grew to love other kids. In some cases, you grow to love other kids because you don't have to see them through the bad part. Yes, I'm sure. But the point that I'm trying to make is I had my baby. It was called the Creative Real Estate Podcast. It was my baby. It was my DNA. It was my blood. It was my effort. It was my time. And I had success with it. And I was just having a rough time thinking of maybe like leaving the podcast. I didn't know how to do it. So I'm in the mastermind. I'm like, how do I do this? It's got all the success, but it's not my true direction. It's not where I wanted to go. I wanted to help podcasters because I knew how to help podcasters. It was boring to me to teach people real estate after a while because I have done real estate now for 17, 18 years. Basically, I started investing in 2005. And the thing with me and real estate investing is I've been doing it for so long that it's just a part of life. It's no longer exciting. It's no longer new to me. And sometimes those things that have more novelty are just awesome. You first get a puppy, you're excited. When they're an older, more mature dog, you don't have the same excitement. Most of us don't have the same excitement. I'm sure you're excited to go home to your older pup that's several years old and see them and you get the unconditional love from your pup, but it's not the same as the day you picked them up from the doctor, right? From the adoption agency. Like that first day, you're like, oh my gosh, this is my kid. I'm so excited. This is my baby. This is my dog. This is my puppy. And you're excited. You're happy. It's new and it's novel and it's interesting and every day is fun and exciting and it might wear you out, but you are in love with this pup or your baby, right? And that's how I was for sure with my podcast, but like real estate excitement, I've just been doing it so long. I'm like, I don't want to teach somebody everybody wants to know in real estate, how do you get a loan? And I'm like, dude, I've been getting loans for years and I've told thousands and thousands and thousands of people how to do this. Why do I have to keep telling people how to get a loan? It's such a basic thing if you've been doing it for a while. So how do you find a deal? How do you vet a market? I mean, in the beginning, I was like excited. Oh, isn't that so cool that you could go and buy a real estate deal out of state? Because I had just started doing it and I was like excited to share my journey with people. And then it got boring. Like, I'm just being honest. I didn't really have the passion for it and it didn't really serve the business that I wanted to serve. So I'm thinking to myself, how do I get rid of it? But I don't want to kill it. I don't want to crush it. I don't want to, like, I might be giving up my kid, but I want to make sure that they're going to a good home. My puppy. Like, I'm moving to a new apartment and my apartment manager said, no dogs, but I have to do this to go to the next phase of my life. And that's where I was. I had to do this to go to the next phase of my life. But I had the dog, I had the pup, I had the baby. And I'm like, I can't just kill it. I can't just give it up to a pound. I can't just put it in an orphanage. I've got to find a way to still serve this person, this animal, this podcast that I've poured my heart into for all these years. I told this story, this concern to my mastermind group, and people are like, wait, I'll take it over. And then the next guy goes, I'll buy it. And then the gal goes, I'll buy it for this amount. This other guy goes, well, I'll buy it for this amount. And this other guy goes, I'll buy it for this amount. And I was seeing that this podcast had all this value. And I said to myself, dang. So you're saying I don't have to quit it. I can basically give it up for an adoption to a really good family. I can have somebody take it over who I believe is going to be a good parent, a good doggy dad. And I will be able to know that it's going to be well taken care of, that it's still going to serve the audience and all these things. And I got excited. I had a few offers in that day. The three offers that I specifically remember financially were $50,000, $53,000, and $60,000. So people were like, yeah, I'm going to spend $50,000-$60,000 just so I can have your audience. And so I thought that was exciting and interesting. I want to share also that I didn't sell it to any of them. I actually thought to myself, who do I think would get the most amount of value from having this podcast and would keep doing it forever? Some of the gentlemen, and there was one lady that were expressing some interest in buying the podcast. They're just great people. I'm not saying anything negative about them. That is for 100% sure. Do not think that or get that from this. However, with that stated, I didn't see it working. I didn't see the longevity. I didn't see the perfect fit. And the perfect fit meant something to me. I wanted to make sure they had the resources, the time, the effort, the persistence, the relentlessism. I needed to make sure that they were going to love my pup and give the pup a good home and not give up the pup soon after. So I reached out to these other two people and I basically just said, hey, would you want to take over this podcast? You would pay me XYZ amount for the intellectual property and for the audience that it's following. And both of them said yes, but for lower amounts of money. I know I could have easily gotten $150,000 for the podcast based on its listener base. And you could too. If you've got 3,500 downloads every single episode, man, I mean, your podcast is worth $150,000 to $250,000. And I ended up selling it for less than $50,000 because I cared a lot about who it was going to and that they would maintain it. So the point being that we ended up selling it. Here are some of the takeaways. I remember how I mentioned at the beginning, I'm going to share with you why I did it, how I did it, and like some pros and cons. So here we go. We're at that point in the episode now. First and foremost, one of the biggest considerations was the listener, with the 3,500 listeners, they came to the podcast in large part because of Adam Adams. You might be let down if I cold turkey completely give up on this podcast and just sell it to somebody, you would be like, I liked learning from Adam. I want to keep learning from Adam. And why is this other person now the host? You would be a little bit let down. And in many cases, you or others that listen to this might actually quit listening if I gave it up, because you are used to hearing me pour into you. You're used to that type of content. You're used to the way I give you content. And by cold turkey, just switching the person, you would might say to yourself, ah, it's not even Adam Adams anymore. Let me find a different podcast. I don't know this. There's this joke, inside joke. Have you ever heard anyone say, I don't know you from Adam? Well, I was about to use that because specifically, you wouldn't know that new host from Adam. And it's funny because my name's Adam. But it's also a saying that people, I don't know if you've heard it before, but I don't know him from Adam. I don't know you from Adam. They don't even know me from Adam Adams. They don't know my new host from Adam Adams because I basically just gave it up cold turkey. So how do you get over that? Well, here's your takeaways. If you're going to sell a podcast, here's how you do it. Here's how I did it. Jason and I, the new buyer of that podcast that I sold, Jason and I did a whole bunch of episodes together. So write that down. Number two, we added his face and name to the podcast artwork. We didn't take mine off. We just said, hosted by Adam Adams and Jason Lewis. We just put that on there, that it was hosted by me and this person. We got our voiceover artist who initially recorded one thing, and she says, now here's your host, Adam Adams. We changed it. So it had almost everything else. It was something like sponsored by Adam's company with Adam as the host. And now it says sponsored by Jason's company with Adam and Jason as your hosts. Okay, basically that's all it did. So in the intro, with the voiceover artist, we had him re-record. The next takeaway is I committed for 2 years after the sale of the podcast. I committed for 2 years, which it's already passed. Like this is already more than 2 years ago. But I committed for 2 years to do all of the ads. So I would be the voiceover artist for all of the ads. So basically the outro was me, and I would say something like, thanks for listening to Creative Real Estate Podcast. Jason and I are glad to have you as our listeners. Come back and hear us on the next episode. So that was like the outro. And then anytime there was an advertisement, because we're large enough to have some sponsors, anytime there was an advertisement, he would let me know, and I was committed to just recording the ad real quick. That way, the listener is used to still hearing my voice in the outro and in a lot of the ads. And last thing is, I recorded, you don't have to go this far, okay? But I recorded, this sounds so ridiculous, and I'm not trying to make you feel like you've got to do this. I recorded 100 episodes. I'm just going to be honest. I recorded 100 episodes. It sounds insane. You don't need to go that far. But because the podcast we were publishing like 4 a week, it was a little overwhelming for the person purchasing the podcast. And they were worried. Jason was worried, like, if he was going to run out of content, if he was going to be able to record that many. And so I said, don't worry. I've already got a backlog of near 100, and I'll record enough to be over 100. Where anytime, Jason, I said, anytime that you don't have content that day, you can just publish one of the episodes that I did. Okay. So we did that. We committed to that. And so those are already out because he publishes so many per week. And I think he's shortened it like since the purchase of the podcast. He no longer does like 100. I mean, that was me just trying to go ahead of myself. He no longer does like 4 a week. I think he's doing 2 a week. At any rate, we were able to have a bunch of them publish with my voice, a bunch of them publish with his voice, and then he and I together co-hosted a few. Next takeaway for you is Jason and I had him as a guest on the podcast. Then I had a solo episode where I said, I'm going to be bringing on a co-host. And then I had a third episode, like this is kind of like the transition period, right? And I had a third episode where it was me introducing him and basically saying, I selected a co-host, as some of you already know, and you've probably heard that episode 300 or whatever it was, where I talked about, and the person that I picked is Jason from episode 299 or whatever it was. And I'm going to bring him on so you can get to know him. And then I interviewed him again and I asked lots of different questions that we didn't ever get on. And then we started co-hosting. So those were like the first few steps. Now we're co-hosting a bunch of different episodes together. And I've got a bank, a giant bank account, which this is more than you probably need, but I had like 100 and something episodes. And so anytime he ran out of content, we could just publish one of the pre-recorded ones that I already had in the bank. And other things that we did is I had to hire an attorney to create purchase and sale agreement, a contract, a purchase contract for the podcast and all of its intellectual property. For example, some of those things that we needed to write over is the website to the podcast. So it was called Creative Real Estate Podcast. And I bought like three domains that were variations on Creative Real Estate Podcast, like CRE or creativerepodcast.com or whatever it was. And the point is that he got all of those things. We had to transfer the rights to him. We had to transfer the rights. So he became an owner of the Facebook group. All of the podcast artwork, promotional assets, the thumbnails, the audiogram templates, the email templates, all of those different templates needed to be transferred to him and where that he would own it. And trying to think what else like is going to be beneficial to you. Here's a couple of things that are beneficial to you. If you want that contract, what my team did soon after, so we've had this for a couple of years, but what my team did soon after I sold that podcast to Jason is we templatized this PSA, the purchase and sale agreement, the purchase contract. We created it into a template where if you're going to sell a podcast, because I think this cost me like $2,000 of what my proceeds, I had to pay for this contract because like there wasn't an attorney back then that I could find a template. So anyway, we created a template out of the contract. So you can have it. You can literally just go to growyourshow.com/templates/templates. And when you go to that website, and we'll make sure the link is down below as well. So you can scroll down and just click it. We've turned this into a template in case you're going to sell your podcast. You can just have the template and not have to spend as much money as I did. It may be in your best interest for you to still download it, tweak it, but then send it to an attorney for like $50 to $350, depending on like how long it takes them and how much they charge. But for a fraction of what I paid, you can just have this contract and it can get you started. You'll still want to seek your own professional and make sure that the details are right and correct for whatever state you're in, for whatever, all of this stuff. But take that template if you're going to sell your podcast, okay? It's yours, it's free, and it's growyourshow.com/templates. And actually, there's a bunch of cool templates there, but one of them is a purchase and sell agreement when you sell a podcast. So pros and cons. Here's some pros and cons. Pros, I made money when I sold it. Pros, it's still going without me and it's helping a lot of people. And pros, it's helping the listeners didn't leave. His podcast is still ranking in the top 0.5% in the world. And pros, he still has, I think he's got like 6,500 downloads per episode now, but I'm don't quote me on that because I haven't looked at it for a minute. But the point being that after I sold it, I felt buyer's remorse. Con, I felt buyer's remorse because actually we did such a freaking good job at the handover that instead of losing listeners, he actually gained listeners. So we were at 3,500 when he bought it. And within a few weeks, within 2 months, this guy had almost doubled the listener base. So that's a huge pro. A con, because I felt sad that you know, we all feel fear of missing out. And I'm looking at him and I'm like thinking, I should have sold it for more. I should have asked for more. I shouldn't have done 100 episodes. I'm thinking to myself, man, I gave this guy such a screaming deal on the podcast, because like we help a person launch a brand new podcast now, and it's costing about the same amount that he got this podcast for. Anyway, so there was these emotions that I had, but I had to ignore it. I had to think to myself, man, it's all good. He's got a good deal. What he got is valuable. He's grateful. And hey, I've got a great story to share on my podcast to potential clients, whatever. I've got a great story to share because I'm one of the only people that I know that has sold a podcast for money. So there's a lot of different pros. Con, you have to start over. When you launch your next podcast, you're back at zero listeners. You're not at 3,500 downloads or 6,500 downloads per episode. I think we're at 30,000 downloads a month, something like that. Anyway, you're no longer there. And it's unfortunate. It's sad. And you've got to start all over. And it's hard. It's a lot. If you keep your old podcast, the benefit would be you know how many listeners you have. You can keep serving them and you can keep adding value to them and you can keep trying to grow that. But when you start your brand new podcast, if you do, you got to start from scratch. It's like a lot of times when you build a business, most businesses takes about 3 years until they start turning a profit. It's kind of interesting. Most people quit their business within the first year. Most businesses don't last a year. And it's probably because the first, second, and third year, you're not really turning a profit. For most podcasts or for most companies, it's just when you're starting a brand new business, you usually aren't in the black. You're in the red. You're still in growth mode. You're still in hiring mode and training mode and fixing mode and attorney mode. And there's all sorts of stuff that you got to do. And once I sold this podcast, like about 3 years into my journey, and it was just starting to be super valuable, and I had to start back over. So that was hard, right? I knew that I had to start from scratch, and I had to have the risk of possibly potentially having no listeners. Now, with that said, I had helped so many different people, many of them for free. A couple of them I started working for. I had helped so many people grow their podcasts and grow their audience before I sold that. I had a fairly good idea that I was going to be successful when I started this podcast. And luckily, we got there in 6 months. We were already as great as this podcast that I had for 3 years. So it ended up working out, but it was the unknown. It was scary. It was risky, if you will. That was something else. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that you need to know about selling a podcast. You don't want to cold turkey it. That's a big one. You want to make sure you have a good contract. That's another one. You already know where to get a contract. You already know how to not go cold turkey and let your listeners down. Here's the other big thing. Your podcast is worth more than you think it is. Your podcast is worth more than you think it is. Your podcast is worth more than you think it is. It's amazing how I sold my podcast for less than 50 grand. And I found out later that I could have easily sold it for 150 to 250,000. I don't want you to make the same mistake. If I would have known, I would have done it a little bit differently. But I just want you to know that your podcast, if you've got at least 300 downloads per episode, you've got a pretty good chance of selling it for more than I sold mine for, just with 350 downloads per episode. I think you could easily get at 350 downloads per episode. I'm thinking you could get like 30 or 40 grand for that. And that would be pretty cool. So anyway, guys and gals, if you're listening, I want you to be inspired that it's possible to do this. And if you have any questions like of selling your podcast that I didn't answer in this episode, you can reach out to me, team@growyourshow.com. That me and my managers will get that. It's just team@growyourshow.com. If you've got further questions, I'd be happy to do another podcast episode that answers those additional questions. B, I don't want you leaving money on the table see, it's important to me as a person that likes giving back, who likes adding value to the world, to know that you heard this and you seeked out advice. Is seek a word? I'm not sure. Looked for my advice and I was able to add value to you. That would make me happy. That would make me feel like I'm doing a good job as a podcaster. So you're going to sell a podcast? Reach out to me, team@growyourshow.com. Ask anything that you want. You and I can get on a call. If ends up needing consulting and a paid thing, fine, let's do it. But I think I could probably help you for gratis. Anyway, let's jump off this episode and I will see you on the next one. Bye for now. You're not alone if you're ready to either get your very first affordable microphone or if you're ready to upgrade your equipment to some legit podcasting studio equipment. Because on all of the forums over the last few months, I'm seeing this all the time. Even my own personal clients that work with my team, they're ready to get that next microphone. They're asking us for it. Additionally, when I'm on discovery calls with potential clients, they're always asking for this stuff. Hey, what mic do you recommend? Hey, what lighting do you recommend? What webcam should I be using? So many questions. And so what we did, my whole team has put together a PDF so that if you're one of those people who is looking to either get your very first affordable microphone, or if you're ready to upgrade your equipment to more professional podcast studio equipment, whether it's soundproofing or whatever, we've got you covered by going to growyourshow.com/PDF. And you can download the PDF for free, or right there on the webpage is everything that you would have and you don't need to download the PDF. Either way, just go to growyourshow.com/PDF, which will put you to the podcasting equipment that me and my team have personally vetted. I'll see you on the next episode.